الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر.
Assalamu alaikum, rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to the Islamic Faith in Focus. I'm your host, Imam Hassan A. Amin. This program, or this Islamic studies class, is designed to present what the Islamic faith is and what it is not. I am not here to debate with anyone about my chosen faith, no more than I will go back and forth with you regarding any faith that you practice. I am unapologetic when it comes to your authentic rites and rituals of the faith of Islam. Please call your friends and let them know that Islamic studies class is about to begin. Also, do not forget to have your Quran near you, along with paper, pencil, pen, or some way of taking notes. By the way, those of you who have been attending this weekly Islamic studies class, welcome back to class. Those who are new listeners or new students, welcome to our weekly Islamic studies class. Today's topic or subject, we're going to talk about a combination of things. We're going to talk about bias or hate, or bias and hate. And bias is B-I-A-S. It is prejudice in favor of or against one thing, person, or group compared with another, usually in a way considered to be unfair. Also, another definition of dot bias, which is B-I-A-S, is a disproportionate weight in favor of or against an idea or thing, usually in a way that is closed-minded, prejudicial, or unfair. Biases can be innate or learned. You can always have it inside of you, or you can learn to be biased or really to hate someone because of who they are. People may develop biases for or against an individual, a group, or a belief. Now, let me give you an example of a bias. For example, there was evidence of bias against Muslim job applicants. So that's a sort of a definition of bias, an example of bias. There was evidence of bias against Muslim jobs seekers or Muslim job applicants. Now, I'm going to use those two words interchangeably, because what you have here, when you're talking about bias, you're talking about bias inside what a person think about another person. For example, if a person sees a Muslim woman walking down the street, all she's doing is walking down the street, going to the store or whatever with her children, her husband, whatever, and she has the dress of a Muslim woman, which is the head covering, long dress, loose flowing, and the like, and not see-through. And then so a person has a bias or thoughts, or maybe even hate the way this woman looks, the way she's dressed. And so you have this preconceived notion you may be thinking in your mind about this Muslim woman, and you really might come to the conclusion that you may hate her because she's Muslim, or what you heard about Muslims. And in the world, and you all correct me if I'm wrong, I have no problem with that, but when a person from another faith does something, no matter what it is that is bad, considered bad, then all the members of that faith are not put down because of it, or because of a person's action, or the something that they done that is goes against the norm, what is normal in society. Stealing something, killing people, whatever, these things are, and they're a part of this of a particular faith. They say nothing about it. That's that individual by his or herself, and that's the one that we condemn, or that being condemned. But if a Muslim does something like that, then really Muslim worldwide are condemned because are really put in the same category as this individual that did this act. Even we say we're against it. We don't condone the act. We as Muslims say this. Sometimes it doesn't matter to people because we condone a particular act. No, he's Muslim, you're Muslim, he did this thing, you're going to do this thing too. Because understand that our terrorists are not Muslims and our Muslims are not terrorists. That's something that can't seem to get through the people's head because they want to settle in on the idea that all Muslims are terrorists. Any terrorists, they're Muslim. And that's it. Some kind of way, either the way they dress or where they're from or their nationality, anything like that, and they're considered to be a Muslim. And so they sort of attacked the place of our place of worship. You all know the story. I have to go on and on about this. And so you have this bias or this hate for Muslims only because of maybe what this one person done, or you have a preconceived motion or emotion, whatever, inside of you, or thoughts inside of you about this person because she or he is a Muslim, and she or he is a terrorist or a bad person because this person is bad. They did bad things, so you're bad too. It doesn't work like that. And that only applies to Muslim, doesn't apply to other people or members of other faith. It doesn't apply to everyone within that faith, but it's unique to people put these biases or this hate upon Muslims. When one Muslim does something, then all Muslims are condemned for doing that thing. But you all get the message. I'm gonna have to go on and on. Now, when you're talking about hate, yes, there are some times where Muslim it's okay to hate. And for us as Muslims, I want to guide the Muslims too as far as hating. Now, let me explain this in particular hadith, or saying the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. The Messenger of Allah said, may peace and blessings be upon him. Allah the Most High said, if my slave loves me or loves to meet me, I love to meet him. And if he hates to meet me, I hate to meet him. And that's any slave of Allah, servant of Allah, that if you love meeting Allah, Allah loves meeting you. But if you hate meeting Allah for whatever reason, I'm going to get into it a little later on, then Allah hates to also to meet you or to see you. It also was narrated by Aisha, radiallahu anha, may peace and blessings be upon her. She was the wife of the Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings be upon him. The Prophet, may peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, said, the most hated person in the sight of Allah is the most quarrelsome person. And a similar hadith, he said, or Aisha said, reported by God's messenger, as saying, the man who is most hated to God is the one who quarrels and disputes most. So we have people in our lives that, oh man, every time you look around, they want to dispute about something. They want to argue about something. They want to quarrel about something. Even the smallest thing, they want to go on and on and on and quarrel about it or dispute about it. No matter how small the thing is, they want to go back and forth. So this is an individual that the Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings be upon him, said, the man who is most hateful to Allah is the one who quarrels and disputes most. So if this is your habit, Muslim or non-Muslim, that you love to quarrel, you like to argue with people, you like to dispute with people, this is not the way of Islam. This is not the way of Islam because Allah does not like this kind of thing. And this is the most hateful thing to Allah. You want to be biased about something? You want to hate something? Then, okay, you are biased and hate a person that want to quarrel all the time or want to dispute all the time. Every time you look around, they have something to say or they have something to quarrel about or argue about. Also, it is further said by Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings be upon him. And he said this, it's a little more lengthy. Allah loves to meet him. And whoever hates to meet Allah, Allah hates to meet him. One of the narrators said, I went to Aisha, meaning the wife of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon her, and said, "O mother of the believers, I heard Abu Huraira narrate from the Messenger of Allah in the Hadith, saying the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, which, if that is the case, we are all doomed." She said, "What is that?" He said, "The Messenger of Allah, may peace and blood be upon him, said, whoever loves to meet him and whoever hates to meet him. Allah hates to meet him, but there is no one among us who does not hate death." She said, "The Messenger of Allah did say that, but it is not what you think. When the eyes begin to stare, the death rattle sounds in the chest and the flesh shiver. At that point, whoever loves to meet Allah, Allah loves to meet him. And whoever hates to meet Allah, Allah hates to meet him." It was a little bit lengthy, but basically that person is afraid to meet Allah. When that death rattle is in their chest, in their throat. And I heard this before. I'm a chaplain in the hospital, and I heard people, their mouth are open, and they're just basically waiting to die, and their mouth is open, and you can hear sort of the in their breathing. They're not hardly breathing. They're just barely breathing, and it's just waiting for the angel to come to take the soul, to take their soul from their body, and then they're. I don't know if I haven't done this episode already, I'll explain to you what happened to a person. And I believe I did had an episode about this, what happens to a person when the angel come and take their soul out of their body. But the thing you're talking about here is that the person, their flesh shivers, and they have this death rattle in their chest, and the eyes stare. And y'all know what I'm talking about if you ever witness a person on their deathbed. And saying, whoever meets Allah, Allah loves to meet him. Whoever hates to meet Allah, Allah hates to meet him. And this talking about a person on their deathbed, and they don't want to meet Allah. They're afraid to meet Allah. They hate meeting Allah. But maybe because of the state that they're in, because they hate Allah. They hate to worship Allah, and so Allah don't have a lot of pleasure for them, and to have a lot of love for them, and Allah hate them as they hate Allah. But then there are those who love meeting Allah, looking forward to meeting Allah, obedient to Allah, and ready to meet their Lord, and be with their Lord, and be in Jannah or paradise, and not in the opposite, which is the hellfire. Also, as mentioned by the Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings be upon him, assured me, meaning Ali, no one will love you but a believer, and no one will hate you but a hypocrite. And there's different categories of hypocrite or what you call characteristics or criteria for a person being a hypocrite when they talk or they speak, they lie, or you trust with something they don't return that thing back to you, and a lot of other things to grit when you talk about the criteria of a hypocrite. And so again, no one loves you but a believer, and no one hates you but a hypocrite. So we want to not to be a hypocrite. That's Muslim and non-Muslim. And it says here, also, of course, we have these people among us that they are hypocrites. They say one thing, they do another thing. They say, yeah, we're with you. But then they're with your enemy. Then they say, no, we're not with them. We're with you. And so that's basically what they do. They're not people that can be trustworthy. And you know the kind of people I'm talking about. You may even know this person. You may be that person. That a hypocrite, you're hypocritical. You say one thing with one group, and then with another group, you say something else. And you can change that behavior. Allah hasn't taken your soul yet, and so you can change that behavior. Again, no one will love you but a believer, and no one will hate you but a hypocrite. So let me go on to the next hadith, and it's a little bit lengthy too, but it's very poignant. That is, the Messenger of Allah, and peace be upon him, said, when Allah loves a slave, he calls Jibril and says, I love so-and-so, so love him. And then Jibril loves him. Then he, Jibril, announces in the heavens, saying, Allah loves so-and-so, so love him. Then the inhabitants of the heaven, the angels, also love him. And then the people on earth love him. And when Allah hates a slave, he calls Jibril and says, I hate so-and-so, so hate him. Then Jibril also hates him. He's Jibril, meaning the angel Jibril, then announcing among the inhabitants of heaven, verily Allah hates so-and-so, so you also hate so-and-so. Thus they also start to hate him. Then he becomes the object of hate on earth also. And so I just wanted to mention this beautiful saying of Prophet Muhammad, that peace of us be upon him, where Allah says, look, I love so-and-so, this individual I love. And Jibril loved him too, or her too. And then Jibril announced to the people in paradise, the angels in paradise, you know, look, Allah loves so-and-so, then you love so-and-so. And then the people and the inhabitants on earth, Allah loves so-and-so, and you love so-and-so. And the inhabitants, not just human beings, that means the plants, the animals, and the like, that Allah loves so-and-so, and so you love so-and-so. We certainly want Allah to love us. We don't. So if you don't love me because I'm Muslim, you have a bias against me, you hate against me, that's your problem, and that is not my problem. I'm not going to make your problem my problem, and so it's just on you and not on me. Because I love Allah, I'm going to do my best to obey Allah, and I'm asking you to also look into Islam and perhaps embrace Islam, and then you love Allah too. Allah has nothing but good for us as human beings. He knows us. He knows what we want and what we need. And he's here, the Sharia, the Islamic law, is here to benefit us and not to hurt us as human beings. People may say sometimes, the Sharia, they put time to bring the Sharia to our country or to our land or to our town, something like that. But you really read about the Sharia is good. It's a good, Islamic laws are good for mankind, for humankind. Allah knows of, he created us. And he knows what's good for us, and he knows what's bad for us. He knows what brings us close to him, and he knows what takes us further away from him. Allah does not want us to automatically go to the hellfire. He gives the opportunity not to go to hellfire as long as we have breath in our body. You all that listen to me, including myself, we have an opportunity to avoid the hellfire and go to paradise. By doing good and obeying Allah and loving Allah and not hating Allah and then end up into the fire. And that's each and every one of us. Also, Abu Huraira reported that the Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings be upon him, he said, do not hate one another and do not envy one another. Let the slaves of Allah be brothers. Even amongst the Muslims, we cannot hate each other. We cannot have these biases towards each other or hate one another because a Muslim brother comes in this particular nationality, or he's of this particular nationality, and I'm of this particular nationality, and so I'm going to hate him because he's not like me, he doesn't look like me, and doesn't come from the same country as I do, or from the same town or same tribe or anything like that. We can't do that. If that tradition is going on where you live, it goes against Islam. Any Muslim that practice kind of thing, it goes against Islam. I can't hate you and be envious of you just because you're from a particular town or you're from a particular background. I can't do that. We do not hate one another and do not are not envy of one another. Let the slaves of Allah be brothers. This was encouraged by Allah for us to do. Let us be brothers to one another, and let us be ummatu wahida, which is be one nation, and that's what we're supposed to do. Also, Asma, she said about her mother. She said, my mother came to me seeking some act of kindness from me during the treaty of the Quraysh, which is Hudaybiyah, but I won't get into that. That's a kind of a long, drawn-out thing, so I won't get into that right now. While she hated Islam, and she was a polytheist, those are people who worship more than one God. I said, the Messenger of Allah, my mother has come to me while she hates Islam, and she is a disbeliever. May I do an act of kindness to her? He replied, yes, do an act of kindness to her. He did not say because a person, and this is my advice to my Muslim brothers and sisters, because a person hate you, whomever it may be, that doesn't mean we have to hate them back. That doesn't mean that at all. We encourage them not to hate us. We show them the beautiful side of Islam. And it's their choice. If they still want to be biased towards us, they still want to hate us as a Muslim, that's on them. I'm through my program, through my particular podcast, I'm trying to clear up to for people what Islam is and what Islam is not. And you continue to believe what you believe, that's that is anti-Islam, against Islam, that's on you and not on me. I'm asking you, when you come to my class, I have a class every week. I cover various topics every week. I want you sort of put your, as a teacher used to tell me when I was learning Islam, he used to tell the students, he basically was saying, put whatever your beliefs are on the shelf. And I'm asking you to do, saying whatever your beliefs are about Islam, even your own beliefs, your own faith, values, they're yours, you can take them off the shelf after we finish, you put them on the shelf, because sometimes your biases or your hate or your belief may block you from receiving what I have to tell you and receiving the information I'm telling you about Islam. Sometimes it'll block it. That's not good. You don't learn like that. You learn when you sort of open up your heart and your mind. And I'm not trying to brainwash you or anything like that. I'm just telling you what Islam is and what it is not. That's all. It is not my intent to brainwash you or say, follow me, I'm going to lead you to the right way. That's not what I'm trying to do. I'm just presented to you what Islam is and what it is not, and then you go from there and you make the decision if Islam is right for you, Islam is not right for you. If it's right for you, you find out more information. That's what I did when I became Muslim. I studied more and more and more about Islam. When I came out of the military here in the United States in 76, I started investigating about Islam. I was interested in Islam while I was in the military, and then after I got out of the military, I started investigating more and more and more about Islam and learning more and more and more about Islam until it settled in my heart that, yes, this is what I've been looking for. The different aspects of Islam, praying five times a day, getting closer to Allah, following the Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings be upon him, it made sense to me. And embracing Islam for you all who are non-Muslim, it's for you, it has to make sense to you. You may be practicing of one kind of faith or another faith. That's up to you. But it doesn't close the door for you to look at other faith and to practice another faith. It's okay to leave one faith and come to another faith. To leave whatever you are and come to Islam is okay. We welcome you. We help welcome you with open arms, put out like the red carpet or something like that for you and your family if you bring your family with you. I want to move on. Also, Abu Huraira, he reported that the Messenger of Allah, may peace be upon him, said, beware of suspicion, for suspicion is the worst of false tales. And do not look for the other's faults, and do not spy, and do not be jealous of one another, and do not what we call cut off relationship with one another, or desert one another, and do not hate one another. And O Allah's worshippers, be brothers as Allah has ordered. Allah orders not to be suspicious of one another, not to hate one another, not to spy on one another, not to be jealous of one another. Do not cut our relationship with one another. And Allah said, O worshippers, be brothers as Allah has ordered. I'm a brother to my Muslim brother, and my Muslim brother is a brother to me. Our Muslim sister is my Muslim sister, and I'm her Muslim brother. That's what this thing is all about. Not hating one another, not despising one another, and not showing any kind of prejudice or bias towards another. I can't even be biased as a Muslim to another Muslim. I say, oh, they're from certain place. I got certain things in my head about people that live in certain place. No, I can't do that. I'm not allowed to hate like that because a person comes from a certain place. That's not, it's not allowed in Islam for that to take place. So I want to move on, my beautiful students, to this last piece, and that is, nothing will be heavier on a day of resurrection in the scale of a believer than good manners. Allah hates one who utters foul or cursed language. And so I want to emphasize to my beautiful students is that we as Muslims, we're not even supposed to be cursing or cussing. I know sometimes using bad language, whatever you recognize in your particular country as being bad language, are using the foul language to one another. We are not allowed to do that, because Allah hates this kind of language. Allah hates one who utters foul or cursed language. The Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings be upon him, he never used that kind of language. Matter of fact, he only spoke just a few words. You could almost count the words that came out of his mouth. But when the little bit of words that he said, they were so meaningful and so beneficial to those who are listening to him. And so the same thing for us as Muslim, we say that which is good, or we keep quiet. When we get angry, we don't quarrel, whatever, with people. We don't start cussing them out and saying all these bad things about them and about their family, that kind of thing. This is not something that we do. It's not part of the character of a Muslim, because Allah hates a person that uses foul language or cursed language towards either another Muslim or to a non-Muslim. Doesn't matter. This is not the language of Islam. This is not the language of the Muslim. And so I hope that, my beautiful students, is that you won't have these sort of biases towards, when you see a Muslim, you automatically think the negative things about the Muslim, or automatically hate a person because they're Muslim, or you see they're obeying Allah. And some, what happens is that some women dress like our Muslim women. They have on their head, they have the whole head covered, they have loose clothing, and you can't see through their clothing, and this guy, at least here in America and other places. And a lot of times these people don't say much to them. But if a Muslim woman dresses like that in obedience to Allah, then people have something to say about her. Why don't you take those clothes off? I even had, because I work with a lot of people who are refugees, I have some of the refugees coming here to America from other countries, and certain groups of people sort of get a hold to them and start teaching them, and also not just teaching them, say for example, the English language, but also teaching them, or trying to teach them, to hate themselves. Because they will ask a Muslim sister, why don't you take that trash bag off your head? Trying to say something about the dress of the sister who obeying what Allah tells her to do. And so this is wrong. These are people who are supposed to be religious people telling another person who practices a different religion than they are, and telling them, you're not dressing properly. Although many people in their own faith may dress like that in a modest way, but they don't say this thing towards these individuals, these women, but they will say that against the Muslim sister and tell them, your clothes are too loose. They're not tight. They're not tight enough. Why you got that stuff on your head? Why don't you wear makeup? All these things that they're encouraging Muslim women to do, because they do it. Because you do it does not make it right at all. Or right for the Muslim woman. Because the Muslim woman, she may not want to dress like that because she's obeying Allah. She may not want to follow you. And because she doesn't follow you or obey you, then it's because for her to obey you, she's disobeying Allah. And you can't get mad about that and be sort of prejudiced against this individual because they want to follow what Allah tells them to do. And so, my beautiful students, I hope that you have a better understanding of what bias is and hate is, because you maybe some that you know or someone you know may have these biases in themselves about a Muslim. Either they say it, or a viewpoint about Muslim, or they may even have, just think about it. I want you to clear your mind of those thoughts about Muslim, the negative thoughts about Muslim, because you see a Muslim, automatically you're going to hate them because they're Muslim. And hopefully, if this particular class has not made that clear enough, then listen to my other classes, some episodes, and maybe get a clearer understanding about when I talk about bias and I talk about hate and I talk about who a Muslim is supposed to be about and what Muslims are supposed to be about. Thank you very much for listening. You have been listening to the Islamic Faith in Focus. I have been your host, Imam Hassan A. Amin. And hopefully you all tune in next week for our next episode. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.